tuning in today. Let's pray together as we open our hearts to God's life-changing, life-giving word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. There's never been a season where we've needed your life-giving word more than we need it now. We need your word. It is life. It brings life. It speaks life. It shows us how to live in the midst of tumultuous times with peace and joy. God, speak to us through your word today. And thank you for your word. It's living. It's active. And God, even as I'm standing here and someone's sitting in their living room or in their kitchen or wherever they may be, God, your word is active. Your word doesn't return void. Speak to and minister to hearts today in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. I want to share a word today from one of my favorite psalms. In all honesty, these have been some pretty difficult days for me, just as they have been for you. And I want to go to the word today. I want to do something a little different. I want to take a psalm today and just kind of walk through it, the whole chapter together today. It's one of my favorite psalms. I don't know about you, but it's almost like these days we've been living, and here we've kind of hit again another bump in the road, so to speak, with COVID. It can kind of start to feel like we're stuck in a bad sci-fi movie. Anybody feel that way? I mean, let me out, Lord. Let me out of this. I'm just tired of this. But here's what I want to say to you this morning. What about God's presence in times like these? You know, COVID-19, most people just wish that it was over. I want my life back. I want to stop wearing a mask. Some people are going, I want to stop homeschooling my kids. I never wanted to do it in the first place. And then in the midst of the challenges with the virus, there's the elections. And oh, wow, you know, what's going to happen to our country? We've got two really competing, divided visions for our country. What's going to happen to the economy, people are wondering. What about churches? Are they going to be targeted in the future? Will Christian, I've got some folks that are really worried and concerned that Christian Bible schools and colleges could potentially be shut down because of some government changes that might happen. And in the midst of all the election chaos and concern and wondering, you know, how's our nation going to be healed? And all of this stuff. And then there's the racial component that we've walked through and worked through. And quite honestly, still there's no good resolve for yet. All this just seems to bring an incredible weight on our hearts and our spirits. An anxiety, if you will, a concern. And it seems like regardless of where we go or what we do, it's hard to escape it. My wife called her doctor this week. Was having some physical symptoms and called her doctor, and the doctor said, Tracy, it's probably chronic stress. And so much of what's happening these days, people don't even realize it, but stress is weighing down on them like a ton weight. And then in the midst of all the anxiety and the challenges, have you noticed that people just seem to be really short with one another? Really harsh. I mean, they don't seem to be speaking with a lot of kindness or grace. My daughter comes home almost every day from her job at Starbucks and says, Dad, I had another really rude customer today. You know, it's kind of become a tradition in our house. When she comes home, you know, tell me the rude customer story of the day. You know, and the other day, Dad, I literally had a lady like grab the drink right out of my hand as I was trying to give it to her through the drive-thru. She was just so upset about so many things. And then, you know, it's interesting because home doesn't even quite seem the same. I mean, home is traditionally for most of us been a place of refuge. And, you know, the holiday gatherings are something that we all look forward to and we draw a lot of solace from. But this year, you know, there's all these concerns about let's not get too many people together. And, you know, it makes home not even quite the same. If any of this sounds familiar, let me just say you're not alone. Thanksgiving was different for a lot of us this year. And by the way, in all that we're walking through in these days, there's now what are called mental health apps. These are apps on your phone that you can get. I just recently learned about this. Did you know that mental health apps went up 30% just since the week of the election? People are struggling mentally. People are looking for counsel, looking for some kind of help and relief for their soul. Those mental health apps that are gaining popularity out there on people's smartphones had already gone up 27% for the year because of all the other stresses and strains we've been walking through. People are just trying to figure out how to cope with these unusual times that we're walking through. So what's the answer this morning? How do we stay healthy mentally? How do we stay healthy spiritually? How do we stay healthy emotionally? And I believe the answer is found in the presence of the Lord and in the eternal Word of God. I am so incredibly thankful for God's Word. It is a rock that I can stand on through even the most tumultuous storms. And you know what? I'm not the only one standing on it, nor am I the only one who's ever stood on it. There are saints from hundreds of years who've stood on this word, and it's seen them through some of the most difficult and devastating times in all of human history. This word is powerful. God's presence is powerful. And when we come to the word and seek him, we begin to sense him. And in his presence, the Bible says, is the fullness of joy. Look at it with me. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in God's presence. One day seeking him, where we continually just cry out to him, than 1,000 elsewhere. Psalm 84:10, and then Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. In your presence, at your right hand, are pleasures forevermore. So I want to encourage you this morning that God can do more when we are in his presence, when we go to his word, than we can do in our best human effort. He can do more. Some of you are thinking, man, I just really need a vacation. Let me say this. Vacations are great, and I'm all for them, but time in God's presence will do more than a vacation could ever do. We are to be people of the Word and the Spirit. And let me just say, the Word and the Spirit work together uniquely to encourage and strengthen and build up the people of God. I told you this a couple of weeks ago. I'll say it again. I'm praying every day for every one of you who call New Song Louisville your home church and your family of faith. And I'm praying that your roots will go down deep in the Lord, that you will flourish like that tree planted by the rivers of water in this season. It doesn't matter when that it's a difficult season. God knows how to be the source and supply of strength and life to you in this season. I'm praying you flourish, that you grow, that your leaves are green, that there's fruit being born in your life. I'm praying that you stay healthy, that you stay strong in the midst of this. That is my prayer for you. We're people of the Word and the Spirit. The Word, if you can imagine it like this, the Word is like the banks of the river, and the Spirit is the water. And you know what? The banks of the river, if you've ever been around a mighty river, and I'll never forget a few years back when I had the opportunity to literally be in a speedboat on the Amazon River. The Amazon River is in some ways the largest river in the world. And it is mighty and it is awesome. And it was an incredible experience for me to be in a boat on that massive, mighty river. And let me just tell you, you're very, very thankful for the banks of that river, and so are the people. I went to one village in the nation of Peru, and the whole village was built on these like two-story high stilts, because there are times that that river overflows those banks, and let me tell you, that can be very, very destructive. And literally their whole village was built on these stilts. So the word is the banks of the river, but the spirit is the water of the river. And we need them both in our lives so desperately. We need God's word and we need God's spirit moving and working, bringing that word alive, bringing alive the gifts of the spirit, bringing the joy of the Lord and God's presence. So this morning, I want to share one of the great psalms in the Bible with you, one of my favorites. It's Psalm 46. If you have your Bibles, if you have your phones, if you have your iPad, whatever you have, turn to Psalm 46. And if you have an electronic device and you can choose the version, choose the English Standard Version this morning. That's the one we'll be using as we look at this great psalm in the Bible. Let me read it to us today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nation rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he's brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. What a powerful psalm. What an absolutely powerful psalm. Charles Spurgeon called this psalm a song of holy confidence. We need it. We need God's word. We need God's spirit bringing God's word alive in our hearts. We need God's presence. Martin Luther, who lived such an interesting life and was really the primary mover and shaker in what's called the Reformation of the church. He went up against the whole church of his day and time, and he was challenged, threatened even, his life threatened by the Holy Roman Emperor. There were times Martin Luther was facing death where he felt absolutely alone and threatened. Martin Luther had a friend, and I don't know if you've ever heard of him. If you've studied church history, you have, but his name was Philip Melanchthon. And Martin Luther, Philip Melanchthon, along with Martin Luther and John Calvin, those three were probably the main movers and shakers in the Reformation of the church. And Martin Luther, in the midst of feeling threatened and in his life literally being threatened by the Holy Roman Emperor as he was trying to bring change to the church, he would say to Philip, "Philip, come. And let us sing Psalm 46. Let us sing Psalm 46. Psalm 46 became an incredible comfort in the midst of an incredible, challenging season in Martin Luther's life. And from this psalm, Martin Luther wrote one of the great hymns of the church, "What a Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Here's what Martin Luther said about Psalm 46. I want you to see it this morning. We sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends his church and his word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin. This is what Martin Luther was saying of Psalm 46. What a powerful statement. Did you know there are fanatical spirits that are, quite honestly, they're out to get you? They're lying spirits from hell that are trying to deceive you, discourage you, whisper lies to you. They're daily challenging you. They're trying to sow negative thoughts into your heart and your mind that will defeat you. The devil hates you. The devil hates the church. The devil hates it when we gather together. There's coming a time where we all need to say, you know what? We're coming back to the church because the church is important. Listen, you need the Spirit of God, you need the Word of God, and you need the people of God. Amen. How are you going to withstand those lies of the enemy, those fanatical spirits of the enemy? Well, Psalm 46 was Martin Luther's remedy against the enemy. So I want us to look at it together today, and I just want to kind of break it down verse by verse. It's an amazing psalm. And let's believe God to do in our lives today, just as he did in the life of Martin Luther and his friend Philip so many years ago. So here we go. First part of the psalm, and I love this. And you should memorize, if you don't memorize the whole psalm, you ought to memorize at least this first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, can I tell you just a quick little kind of a silly story, but it's a real one. Tracy and I have been in full-time ministry and full-time missions for over 30 years. All of our married life, we have been in full-time ministry and missions, and He has amazingly taken care of us. There were many years where we lived under the poverty level of the state of Kentucky. And let me just say, the state of Kentucky is way down there in the 50 states. But God was our amazing provision. We didn't feel that we were in need. God provided for us. We literally traveled all over the world preaching and proclaiming the gospel. God made a way. And we don't have anything to complain about. But one of the things, for whatever reason, that I don't know why, but I think it was an area that I just didn't trust the Lord in the way I should have, was to have a dentist. It was interesting because in the early years, I had several medical doctor friends, and even though I didn't have insurance, and we were living by faith, trusting the Lord, trying to do what he called us to do, God was really faithful that we had medical doctor friends that we could visit, and they would take care of us, and it was an amazing provision from the Lord. But for many years, we didn't have a regular dentist. And because of that, we kind of let our dental work go, and here a few years ago, my teeth started to bother me pretty bad, and I had to go to the dentist. I didn't have any more choice, and I had some throbbing dental pain. And I remember this. It was right at Christmas time, about 3-4 years ago. And I was sitting up all night long with hot compresses trying to find some kind of comfort. And finally, when the dentist's office opened again, I got into the dentist and he said, "Wow, we're going to have to pull that tooth and we're going to have to do root canal and all these different things." And boy, was I ever looking forward to that. Not really. And, you know, I'll never forget, it was this psalm that saw me through. They had to do a thing called planing on my teeth. I'm not going to get into the details. It was rough, and my mouth was just full of blood, and it was very painful because of the work that I needed. And I remember just sitting in that dental chair quoting this scripture over and over again. "God, you are my refuge, and you are my strength. You're a very present help right now. This is a time of trouble. I don't like being in this dentist chair right now, going through what I'm going through." And can I tell you, this is a pretty cool part to the story. My dentist has commented several times after we went through the extreme measures to get my teeth back to where they needed to be. At one point, he literally said, "You may have to have all your teeth pulled." And I thought, "Oh Lord, please don't let that happen." And it was amazing. We went through this whole thing, and he restored me back to a place of good dental health. And he's commented numerous times, "You've got the toughest teeth of anybody I've ever seen. Your teeth are so strong. It's amazing how strong your teeth are." And I've been going back to the dentist regularly, and God's provided, and I'm doing well on that front, and I'm so thankful. God was my refuge and my strength. And he was a very present help in those times of trouble. Maybe he has been for you too, in some specific times that you've walked through. Maybe right now, this verse just resonates with your heart and speaks to you. Because what else is going to be your refuge, folks? What else is going to be there as your source of safety that you will run to when the world's gone mad? Who do you go to when you face uncertainty? What is it or who is it that you run to? Where do you find comfort? Is it in your financial security? Is it in your personal skills, your work ethic, your personal connection, your family, your friends? Let me just say, God should always, always, always be your primary source of refuge. The very one that you run to when you are struggling. Because all the rest of those things that you might put your reliance upon can be gone in a moment. They really can. But God will be the one constant. He will be the one rock that you can stand on. He's our strength. And we need in this world we're living in a refuge and a strength, a place to hide and a strength on the inside. And God is that. That way you're safe on the inside, you're safe on the outside. He is an ever-present help in trouble. He's there whenever you need him. 24/7. You know, not everybody else can be there all the time, but God can and will. Always and forever, God is with us. He's present right now. He's ready to help you right now. If you're worried, look to him right now. Call out to him right now. Don't wait. He cares for you. And I love the constancy of God's presence in our lives. There's literally no place we can go. And there's literally no time frame where he will not be there with you or I. Today, tomorrow, forever, he's constant. He never turns his back on you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. You know what causes so many people so much anxiety? It's just this constant worrying about the future that, in all honesty, may never come. We dream up these really worst-case scenarios about the future, and it's like we're literally worrying ourselves out of the good things of the present because we're so concerned about the future. And most of the time, those things don't even happen. So it's like we're stealing from ourselves. And here's the thing, God holds the future. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future, and he's trustworthy always, always, always. He's your refuge and your strength. And let me ask you this question. How does God become your ever-present help in times of trouble? He becomes that when you day in and day out make him your refuge and your strength. He becomes your ever-present help when day in and day out you invest the time to make him your refuge and your strength, spending time in his presence. All right, let's continue our way. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, Selah. Some would say this is poetic hyperbole, that the psalmist, and it is the psalmist, not the palmist, okay? Just want to clarify that. Anyway, some would say that the psalmist is painting a picture here of what could possibly be the worst imaginable circumstances. You know what? You can have a tsunami, you can have an earthquake, you can have a hurricane, and you do not have to be afraid because God, even in the midst of those difficulties, is an ever-present help for you and I. In fact, let me ask you this question this morning. You think about it just a little bit. What's the worst thing you can even imagine happening to you? Would you need God more then than you actually need him right now? No. You need him right now. He wants to be with you right now. We need his ever-present help and strength all the time. We need him now, we need him then, and he is just as able to help you now as he would be able to help you then, regardless of what comes your way. Now, I want you to notice a word, and I even purposefully did this as I read the psalm to you today, and I'm going to take a little risk here and do something that online might be a little challenging, but hang with me, okay, because this could be powerful for you today. But did you notice the word Selah? It occurs three times in this psalm. at the end of these verses, though the mountains tremble at his swelling, Selah. What does Selah mean? Because maybe you don't know. It means to stop and to meditate on God. So here's what I want you to do. There's just a few of us here in the house together, and then there's many of us watching. And regardless of whether you're here in this room or you're there in your living room, I want you to stop. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to meditate on God right now. And here's what I want you to picture. He's your refuge. He's your strength. He's your ever-present help. Just meditate on that for a moment with your eyes closed. He's right there beside you. He's right there with you. Hey, you can open your eyes now. Don't want anybody falling asleep on me today, okay? Nobody falling asleep. Open your eyes. But you know what? We need Selah moments all throughout our day. We absolutely do. No matter what happens tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, God is your refuge. He is your strength. That doesn't change. This is key to our faith. He's with you, and regardless of what you're going through, what the world throws at us, it's going to be okay. So let's move on. Here's the next part of our psalm. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. In other words, let's just put it this way. There's nothing you can throw at God that he's not able to handle. There's nothing that's going to come our way. There's nothing that's going to happen in this nation that God doesn't have a way through. He's with you. Be encouraged. Don't be afraid. Trust in him. He's your ever-present help. This is written after Israel was attacked by the Assyrians. I don't know if you remember that story, but it's this huge army coming against them. They're way outnumbered, but the people of God fast, pray, trust the Lord, and what happens? God sends an angel, and 185,000 Assyrians are slain. And it's a deliverance, if you will. It's a city under siege is the picture that we're talking about here. And notice that there's a river that runs right through the middle of it. Now, it's interesting because there is not a river physically that runs right through the middle of Jerusalem, and it's talking about Jerusalem, the holy city of God. But some believe there's a subterranean waterway that runs underneath the city of Jerusalem that is the source of so many fountains and so many ponds found in that area. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in our lives. You can have all kinds of enemies arrayed against you, emotional enemies, physical enemies, people coming against you, but God is with you. And look at this, the Holy Spirit, his power and his presence can make you glad even when the enemy's coming against you. Can make you glad. There is gladness and there is joy in the midst of God's presence. I know, it doesn't seem to make sense. In bad circumstances, you can be glad. But it's true. With God's presence, God's power in you, not just in the highs, but also in the lows, you can feel, you can experience, you can know the gladness of God. His presence changes our perspective. What if you knew that the thing you fear the most could be the very thing that brings the greatest gladness of God in your life? It would sure change the way you looked at things, wouldn't it? So let's praise God for the stream of his presence that is there in our lives day in and day out, ready for us to just be able to partake of. The Holy Spirit, those streams of living water that pour forth out of your innermost being, Jesus says. And then look at this, verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. There it is again. Stop and meditate on the fact. Let me tell you a little bit about this verse, a fortress. It's a picture of a fortress on a mountain, one that's almost impossible to get to because it's so well secured. No weapon, the Bible says, formed against you will prosper. Amen? And the word Almighty there, the Lord Almighty, is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of angel armies. And you know what that means? An army designed to do warfare. It's a powerful picture of literally an innumerable number of angels arrayed together in battle array, ready to defend you, his son or his daughter, from any attack that comes your way. God's ready to make the way for you, to protect you, to provide for you, to be there for you. And he says to you today, the battle is not yours. The battle's mine. Let me fight it for you. Trust him. Trust him. I'm the God of angel armies, he says to you today. Now stop and meditate on that. And let me tell you, that'll cause you to be glad right there. Let's continue on. I'm running out of time. Let's continue on. Come and behold, see the works of the Lord, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and burns the shields with fire. In other words, look what God has done. He knows how to win the war. You know, one of the things that I have realized about people I respect in the faith, people that I look up to in the faith, strong men and women of God who are older and more experienced, and some who've even gone on to be with the Lord, people of true faith, they talk about the Word of God like it just happened. I mean, when you hear them talking about God's Word, when you hear them talking about how the Lord has brought breakthrough, how the Lord has done the miraculous, how the Lord has parted the seas, how the Lord has made a way across the Jordan River, how the Lord has delivered Jonah out of the mouth of that whale, whatever it is, it's like it just happened. Have you noticed that? It's so powerful, and I love it. Look at the next verse. It's one of my favorite from this psalm. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Tracy and I have been teaching one of the wonderful spiritual disciplines that we've learned that's called breath prayer. These prayers have been around, this type of prayer has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. Some great men and women of God long ago, when they were feeling anxious or feeling concerned about the world, would just stop and kind of relax and sit in God's presence, and they would breathe in just a deep breath through their nose, and they would say, be still. And they'd hold the breath and then let it out. And know that I am God. Just breathe in, be still, and then breathe out, and know that I am God. It's a great way to take a Selah in your day. He'll be exalted in all the earth, in all the nations. Let me tell you, folks, there's a lot of concern going on right now, but God has it in control. God knows how to sort out all this mess of this mad, mad world we live in. Listen, it's not up to the vote counters in Georgia. It's not up to the lawyers filing lawsuits. It's not up to the politicians trying to make laws and change things. God is sovereignly in control. The hearts of the king or the queen or the leaders of the countries of the world are like a water course, and God directs them however he pleases. We just read the story of Nebuchadnezzar, how God humbled him when he wouldn't humble himself. And God said, you know what? I direct the course of the nations of the world. And I can make one, I can set one in place, I can take another down. God's in control, folks. God wins. No one who hopes in the Lord will ever be disappointed. You can trust him. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. Can you say amen to that today with me? And then let's end with this last verse. Once again, God's going to just say it again so that we leave this powerful Psalm 46 with a reminder. He's saying the same verse he said just a couple of verses back. The Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of angel armies, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress on that mountain that is impenetrable. Stop and meditate on that. No one can touch you. You are surrounded by his goodness. You are not walking through these days alone. God cares more about you than you can even imagine. Would you just stop, close your eyes with me? I want to pray for us as we close today. Just meditate on God's goodness right now. Lord, you are great. You're our refuge. That place that we can run to anytime we feel frightened or afraid or concerned or anxious, you're faithful. You're our strength when we feel weak. It's actually a good place to be, because then your strength can be ministered to us. And you are always, always, always a help, a present help in any time of trouble. And we just stop and meditate on that today and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this was an encouragement to your heart and your spirit. Listen, next week, those of you who feel comfortable, come back and join us. We're going to be worshiping here at 9:30 and 11:15. God bless you. Have a great week. Lord, go with us. Let your light shine through us. Let your face shine upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining.